He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction. 615-844-5600.
Fritzy Yancey, Big Six Previews on Wednesdays. Hearing a lot of compliments about all of his information. People have ordered it. They've got it. They're studying it up. Brett, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for the praise, and thanks to all the listeners out there that have supported and purchased the book and downloaded it and have messaged me. I appreciate it.
You paying much attention to the SEC football media days?
You know, it's rough timing for me. With the book release on Sunday, I've been doing a lot of radio, as you can imagine, a lot of radio podcasts. So I tried to keep some tabs on it, but it's just tough timing for me. But I saw Shane Beamer won the first day, and we'll see about the rest of the week.
Ole Miss yesterday, Lane Kiffin. Give us some of your thoughts on year two and some balance maybe with that defense getting better.
Yeah, that's spot on because I think everyone knows the offense by now. You've seen it. It's an offense that spreads the field sideline to sideline. They go fast tempo, and when they think they have a mismatch, they take a vertical shot, and they hit on them too. That's the thing. So I think the offense is great. They have Matt Corral. One of the best quarterbacks in the country, statistically, a great running back duo, and an experienced offensive line. But the difference now, you spoke about balance, is they fixed the defense up a little bit. They got Otis Reese back healthy, but what they did at defensive tackle was they signed not only the number one, but number one and number two junior college defensive tackles in the country. So experienced transfers coming in, fortifying the middle of that defense. So I think you're going to have a better defensive product, and they placed in my top 25 in the book.
Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, checking in this morning as he does every Wednesday. Josh Heupel spoke yesterday. Really don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be yet. I'm thinking Harrison Bailey, but that might not be the right choice. I'm not sure what they're going to do yet. Well, I guess we'll find out in camp.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a quarterback battle. Even a guy like Brian Maurer, I think that he had recently recruited the UCF. There was some connection there, so maybe that's a good fit for his offense. Of course, two experienced Power 5 transfers coming in from Virginia Tech and Michigan. So that one, I mean, you have a lot of candidates there, and that'll be one to keep tabs on because they all bring different talents to the table, and it's a matter of what he wants to design his offense around. So, yeah, that one's going to be fascinating. I do have Tennessee a little bit lower in the rankings due to this huge transition they're undertaking on offense and given the mass amount of transfers out of there. I think it was 27 transfers that left Knoxville. I mean, that's the most in the country. I know you hear about transfers everywhere, but they had the most of them. And they were star players and All-American candidates too. So definitely a transition season down there.
Kentucky had their day down in Hoover. And Coach Stoops, Mark Stoops, was there. Tell you what, they're sneaky good. They're very physical up front, Brett. They've got two running backs they absolutely love. I guess the problem offensively is they're wanting to be balanced with the passing game, with the vertical aspect of the passing game, and they're not satisfied there yet.
Yeah, you know, Kentucky, they remind me of an old Big Ten West team, a Big Ten West program that's built around the offensive line, and give Mark Stoops credit for that. Historically, they'd struggled up front, but he's got it so that they're churning out NFL draft picks and all SEC guys up front. They even added Rosenthal, a multi-year starter from LSU, who was kicked off the team for off-the-field stuff, but he comes in and is a day-one starter for them. So offensive line, very strong. Chris Rodriguez really flying under the radar. I have him on my all-SEC team as a running back. But you're right. The difference is that they had zero passing. Of course, in 2019, they literally had a receiver there, Bowden, running the Wildcat. And to their credit, it worked. But in 2020, they couldn't throw the ball either. So even if they have any threat at all of passing, I think this becomes a top 25 caliber team, or at least near that threshold. So, yeah, they got to fix the passing attack to really compete.
Did you see the news? Nick Saban was at a high school speaking engagement in Texas. Name, image, likeness came up, and he said Bryce Young already has seven figures in agreements.
Well, you know, I did see that. I was making the rounds. That's going to go a long way in recruiting because you don't have to even verify that claim, right? It's just out there.
Right.
And now you're thinking, hey, if I'm a prospect, I can go make $1 million at Alabama. It's interesting.
I'm wondering, you know how Nick is always, Nick doesn't say stuff. He doesn't waste moments on a microphone. Every word, every syllable means something. And I'm wondering what kind of signal he was sending there to recruits. Or if that's what he was doing.
Absolutely. I think that's the case because, you know, if that wasn't the case, you wouldn't want to air out something personal like that for the quarterback. I think that was kind of a heads up that, hey, you might be hearing about some small dollar sponsorship deals elsewhere, but here's the real our figures are in the South still, and here's the Alabama number. So, yeah, I was blown away to hear that. I mean, especially because Bryce Young, I mean, yeah, he's definitely a five-star talent and has all the recruiting rankings in the world, but he hasn't started a game yet. So this is not even like a three-year starter that we're talking about, like an experienced star player that has namesake and our name recognition. So, yeah, for a new starter that hasn't played a game, to be making that money is crazy. So I wonder if this is the new era we're heading into or if there will be somewhat of a correction where people are, you know, sending all this money to players and they realize it might not have been worth their, you know, worth their investment if it was a sponsorship deal or something. Maybe the number scales a little bit off.
ACC Football Media Day start today in Charlotte. And is there anything in particular, it's a two-day event, Brett, you would like to hear from the ACC?
Well, it's funny because SEC Media Days, the SEC, they really own this yearly event. I mean, you almost don't even hear about the other ones.
Right.
You know, the only thing we heard out of Big 12 Media Days was, the horns down reference, that's a penalty. So, yeah, Hoover really runs the show there. With the ACC, I mean, I'll try and tune in, see some interviews. I'm interested to see how UNC looks. They're my surprise pick to those that haven't gotten the book yet. UNC Tar Heels I have in my playoff bracket coming out of the ACC. They're going to be favored in all 12 games. Love their offense. I've spoken with their coordinator, Phil Longo, a couple times, and they have a Heisman candidate quarterback, an NFL caliber line with all five back. They average 6'5", 325. Defense, really, this is where it's what caught my eye is how the defense is building. Stocking five stars, four stars under Mac Brown's record-setting classes here. So, long story short, I love UNC. I want to see how they show at media days. I know Dabo's already in the headlines about the 12-team playoff. And so was the UNC players. Both Clemson and UNC players were saying outspokenly that they don't like the 12-team playoff. They think it should be a smaller bracket that you have to really earn your spot. And how refreshing is that to hear from really the only people that should matter in this, the actual players, because we've seen the national media go on and on and on about, you know, playoff expansion. And me and you are one of the only voices out there saying, hey, let's hold on to what we have. And then you got the players on our side. So that was kind of vindication. We'll see if they listen to them.
Yeah, I saw that. Dabo saying that the players were not for an extended playoff-type situation, what's being speculated on and what is overwhelmingly likely to pass. It sounds like now, just here over the next few months. Brett Ciancia with us, Pick 6 Previews. You can order all of his content. We'll let you know how you can do that. We're talking Media Days up in Indianapolis. Now, typically, Brett, they have the Big Ten in Chicago. I've done the show from there several times in the past. This year at Lucas Oil, can't have it in Chicago, so in Indianapolis. And is there anything in particular when that gets started tomorrow that you would like to hear from the Big Ten?
Yeah, well, all eyes will be on Ohio State, but also on Michigan. Jim Harbaugh made a lot of coaching staff changes and moved guys around. Some of these coaches are in spots they haven't coached before. I mean, you have quarterback coaches and line coaches that, you know, it's new positions for them. So interesting staff movement. I'm sure he'll be questions about that. I'm curious to see how the Big Ten media treats the Indiana story. I love what they pulled off last year, but from a predictive, I'm here predicting the next year. I don't have them finishing first or second in the East. I have Ohio State 1, Penn State 2, and then Indiana. I almost thought about moving them to fourth, just given the roster talent that Michigan does have still on board. So questions there. We'll see how the Big Ten media poll shakes out. I'm sure you'll have questions for Scott Frost, who might have some hot seat talks happening. I was waiting to see how their new AD hire would go. If they went external, outside the Nebraska family, then I think his hot seat clock might have started. But they went with Trev Alvord, so I think he got a few extra years. A ton of storylines. But, and then you have Greg Schiano out there building off a successful first year in New Jersey. So we'll see, how they're all treated up there.
Tell everybody how they can order your college football information.
Yeah, thanks. It's picksixpreviews.com. It's at picksixpreviews on Twitter. And again, it's the 10th annual season preview book that I put together. It's a digital copy. It's all 66 Power 5 teams. And over those first 9 years since I launched, I've been graded the most accurate in the country, beating all those on newsstands, all those online. So, and it's the end result. You guys have been listening each week, and you've seen it's like a seven-month process, watching game tapes, spring games, calling coaches, calling coordinators, running my numbers. So a nice balance between numbers and football. And, pick6previews.com.
We will see you next week.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Brett Ciancia joins us. I have had quite a few